Welcome to Grow Great, a leadership podcast for entrepreneurs. I'm Randy Cantrell. Happy Friday the 13th, December 2019. Goodbye. Today's show is brought to you by thepeeradvantage.com. The Peer Advantage is a small online virtual peer advisory group of entrepreneurs who come together to help each other achieve the trifecta of successful business building, getting new customers, serving existing customers better, and not going crazy in the process. You can learn more by visiting the website, thepeeradvantage.com. Cue Tom Petty's classic hit song from that very fabulous Wildflowers album. You've heard the song. Time to move on. It's time to move on. It's time to get going. What lies ahead, I got no way of knowing. Well, I don't know about that latter part. Tom is singing about divorce, but if I were singing the song, it'd be about my long last professional shift. Well, long last. I'm not sure about that, but that's how it feels. Today, I hope you get some value as I rehearse with you the general angst and execution of the past year. As we near the end of 2019 and we stare into the face of 2020, it feels right to craft this final chapter of the Grow Great podcast. I'm hoping that you will stay along for the ride because my intent is to continue to provide high value. In fact, I'm making some changes because I want to up my game. I want to bring you higher value. For over four decades, I have been immersed in business. All my activities professionally have been focused on the business of building and growing businesses. I have spent most of that time leading businesses, and I have loved almost every mile along the journey. But as Tom sings, it's time to move on. It's time to get going. No, I'm not leaving business behind, but I am changing direction. More accurately, I'm changing my focus and I'm going singular rather than being as broad as I have been over the past decade. When I entered the professional services arena about a decade ago, it was real roll up your sleeves, get your hands dirty consulting work. I was intent on helping business owners shore up operationally. Quite often, it would involve retooling sales processes. It might involve retooling marketing. It was a lot of under-the-hood stuff that every business requires. And over time, it morphed quite organically. I am ideally wired for it, as I had discovered when I was in my early 20s. That is, this morphing that just quite happened. I enjoy communication, learning, discovery. And my natural curiosity drives me to ask questions seeking understanding. Many, many years ago, I began to utter a comment. I don't claim originality for it. I don't know where I heard it or why I came up with it, but I did. The quality of our questions determines the quality of our business. And I've always had a lot of questions because, well, I have always been fascinated and curious to understand. And I don't know any better way to get understanding than to ask questions. So in short, this morphing that happened in the professional services arena that I entered, it was right up my alley. It suited, well, I was going in on my strong suit because it was all about people. It was about me doing whatever I could to help people figure it out for themselves. I loved it. I loved it because everything about it felt right. There's a character strength assessment that I'm rather fond of. A buddy of mine, Joe Bacigalupo, Don't you love that name? I do. Joe's a good friend, and he is the owner and founder of Alliances Hub International. And Joe is the one who put me on to this particular assessment. I knew something of the people behind it because many years ago I had read a book entitled Learned Optimism. Well, the fellow that wrote that book was a gentleman by the name of Martin Seligman. And Martin Seligman is one of the people behind the VIA survey. Those folks that lean very hard into character strengths. Now, character strengths are different than talent or skill strengths. In fact, there's a real short animation of Learned Optimism by Martin Seligman that I'm going to embed here. It's a YouTube video. It's just a couple of minutes long. You'll get some value from it. Go over there to growgreat.com and find today's episode, episode 352, and you can watch that. Well, this assessment, the VIA survey, is meaningful because among my core character strengths are things that I have long known about myself, things like forgiveness. These are big, big things for me, and they are very easy for me. Now, you have your own. We all do. We've all got character strengths. We've all got skill and talent strengths, but these character strengths really are the drivers. These are the things that they make up the fabric of who we are. My passion to go deep with people in an effort to serve them has always been very, very, very strong, and it's been growing stronger and stronger over the last decade. And I suppose age has something to do with that. I'm naturally bent toward being a person with whom others can feel safe. Confidentiality is not hard for me. Not judging people or telling people what they should do, that's not hard for me either. I'm happy to give people my opinion if they press, but I am mostly geared to asking questions so they can figure it out for themselves, what's best for them. Now, this is all in the context of business or organizational behavior. So, candor. Well, candor is just right up near the top of the things that I cherish the most. What I've learned in the past 4 to 5 years is that this is woefully lacking in the world, but not really. Let me explain. Go talk with 10 people. It doesn't matter. Pick 10 random people, and I guarantee that if you will direct the right questions toward these 10 people, you will discover that each of the 10 was powerfully impacted by somebody, likely a number of somebodies. In other words, each of them leveraged the power of other people. We all do it. Now, most of us, we don't do it strategically. We don't even do it tactically. It just happens organically, or it doesn't. I began to look more closely at the people at the bottom of the achievement pile, people who suffer all sorts of challenges that I have never faced. Many of these people lacked good influence from others. I mean, for example, the child who grows up abused, the child who grows up neglected, that child may grow up and lean into very poor and foolish behavior. It's very common. Devoid of having the power of others, that child can develop into an adult lacking the necessary wisdom and life skills to navigate life successfully. All you have to do is do any kind of a shallow study of gangs and gang lifestyle, and you can see all of these poor folks who don't have positive people in their life, and now all of a sudden they are surrounded by very negative people, oftentimes criminal people. Yes, there are outliers. There absolutely are outliers. There are those kids who grow up like that, and in spite of the horrific odds, they choose to lean hard into wisdom, opting to make the best choices possible so they can escape this dungeon of despair. But those are outliers. It's not so shocking to me, because as a man of faith, I have long known what the Bible says about such things. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, "Be not deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals." And the converse is equally true. Surround yourself with good people, And it can foster higher behavior, better behavior. In our organizations, it produces higher human performance. Just take a close look at any group or any team that is high achieving, and you're going to see it. You're going to see the power of others. 4 years ago or so, things took a professional turn for me. I was given an opportunity by a very forward-thinking city manager looking for an executive coach for one of her directors. Thrust into an organization whose goal was to deliver superior service to a very demanding city population, well, it was quite different than my typical trifecta business building stuff, right? Getting new customers, serving existing customers better, and not going crazy in the process. But I found that two of those three, they were still in place. Getting new customers wasn't necessarily, but it was even kind of sorta, because the city wanted to grow. You want to grow. You want more people to want to move into your community. Mostly, I found the focus was solely on people. I mean, it was a complete focus on people. People working well with other people. People struggling to work well with others. People unable to accurately read a situation. People struggling to communicate effectively. People finding it hard to lead. People finding it hard to follow. A lot of culture stuff. A lot of team stuff. Chemistry stuff. Emotional intelligence stuff. Well, my eyes were opened. This was my niche. This was my niche. Not serving city government necessarily, but focusing on people. It felt right. Everything about it felt right. While I had been an operator all my life, a business operator, and I still immensely enjoy strategy and operations, but nothing, absolutely nothing trumps people. For me, nothing trumps being able to go deeply enough with people where real help, real support, real service can happen. It fueled me, and it fueled me unlike any work that I had ever done. Well, I pushed a bit harder into the people side of things. Now, this wasn't easy. I was too reluctant. And now that I look back, it's very easy for me to see. It wasn't at the time. It was really hard to let go of operational stuff, right? I mean, when you've been so embraced, you've so embraced the identity of being an operator for so long, it's a really tough thing to shed after decades and decades of operating businesses. But slowly I began to intentionally work on this. Now, there's also the reality of client services. Quite frankly, you just do what you have to get clients, to serve clients, to keep clients. It wasn't always the direction that I wanted to go, but I did it anyway. Increasingly, my heart wasn't fully in it. But, you know, it's really difficult, if not impossible, at least for me, to just make this really clean pivot. And that didn't even seem possible to me. And besides, now that I've got clarity, I didn't have that clarity, not in real time. So it's easy for me to look back now and kind of second guess myself or judge myself harshly, which I'm very able to do that, by the way. It's easy for me to judge myself. I'm not often plagued with the disease of wanting to judge you or judge other people, but man, I can be hard on myself. It's interesting, side note here, forgiveness is my very top character strength. Forgiving people is super easy for me. It's never been difficult. Forgiving myself, crazy hard, crazy hard. And this is what Joe has taught me about the VIA survey. It's your strengths. You can use your strengths and you can leverage your strengths. And at some point they can become your weakness. Well, self-forgiveness is an absolute weakness for me, but I digress. Now, along the way, as I'm trying to find this epiphany, and after all, as I jokingly say to my friends, I am just a man in search of an epiphany. Somewhere along the way, I reached out and I made a connection with Leo Battari. Leo Battari. You need to go check his website out, LeoBottari.com. Leo had co-authored a book, The Power of Peers. And I reached out to Leo, and long story short, we started a podcast, which I produced, The Year of the Peer. This was a few years ago. From that podcast, The Year of the Peer, we interviewed 50 or so people. Leo wrote a second book, and the title of that book is What Anyone Can Do. After that, I joined him as a co-host of our current podcast, which has the same title as his second book, What Anyone Can Do. Now, associating with Leo was very intentional because I knew he was a smart guy about peer groups and about peer advantage. He had studied it. He had learned it. He had written about it. I wanted to learn everything I could about peer advisory groups. I was curious. Why do they work? Why don't more people take advantage of them? Fewer than 1% of all CEOs ever take advantage of a peer advisory group. What makes a great peer advisory group? Why do people join them? Why do they leave? I had a lot of questions. I knew I wanted to operate in that space. In fact, 3 years ago, I knew that I wanted Bula Network to be a peer advisory company operating virtual or online peer advisory groups. Now, this is really important. I want you to get this because I know there are some things that you can learn from this for your own business and your own life. 3 years ago, I knew this 3 years ago. I decided this 3 years ago that I wanted Bula Network to be a peer advisory company that operated virtual or online peer advisory groups. I also knew that the first group, this isn't true. This doesn't go back 3 years, but this goes back 2 years. I knew that the first group needed to be SMB owners, that is small to medium-sized business owners, entrepreneurs operating companies that are doing a few million bucks to companies doing, anywhere in excess of $200 million. I'm an operator, and I was driven, motivated to build this first charter group of people who make the decisions, people that are close enough to the customers and also close to the employees. I wanted the first charter group of the Peer Advantage to be these people. You know, it takes time to figure things out. It took me a long time. Proof that no matter how smart you are, figuring it out is hard work. But 2020, here we are, we're on the cusp. 2020 is a fitting year, a fitting number, right? 2020, it provokes most of us to think about vision, 2020 vision. My vision is clearing. Well, not physically, because I got to have reading glasses. Drives me crazy. But professionally, even personally, many things are getting clearer. It's been a long journey. I'd love to tell you that it happened for me very quickly because I'm that brilliant, but I'm not. I rather think things happen in due time. I really do. I suppose things happen in a timeline that can, I'm not saying that it will, but in a timeline that can work to our advantage if we're wise. And I'm trying really hard to be wise. Over the summer, this year, 2019, I really started trying to build the Peer Advantage by Bula Network. I really kind of started in the spring, but I won't say that I began too much in earnest until the summer. Well, I had figured I could get it up and running by, late fall this year. Didn't happen. And it's entirely my fault. I didn't give it the focused effort that it deserved. I had so many irons in the fire because I said yes to too many things. I wasn't discriminating enough. Learn from my errors. If everything is important, then nothing is important. I said that. That's my quote. And I first said it when I was a teenager. I was about 18 years old, and I was observing the insanely erratic behavior of a business owner that I was working for. He taught me a lot. Man, I learned a lot because he was a jerk and he wasn't very smart. I learned early on what not to do to succeed at business. He was second generation. His dad had built a good business. In fact, it was so good that even a moron son like him couldn't quite ruin it at the time. And here I was being my own jerk and being stupid. And I would often think, well, who's the moron now? It was me. I'd have conversations with people about peer advantage. Now, most of the people that I would have these conversations with, they had no idea about it. They had no experience with it. It was so far beyond the realm of anything that they had ever experienced that they struggled to see how it could help them or why they would even need it. And I searched for language to help convey it, and I'm good with words. I've never really struggled to find ways to connect. And the connection wasn't difficult, and that really wasn't so much, I guess, the challenge. The challenge was like a hydra, you know, a monster with a lot of heads. I had too many irons in the fire. I wasn't focused. The peer advantage wasn't seen as solving any one problem that anybody was looking to solve. Customers want solutions and a generic solution, helping you make better decisions, just didn't seem nearly precise enough. Now, Leo is an adjunct professor, and he was conducting a master level online class for a university. And this was a class in strategic communication, and he thought it'd be a good exercise for his class to do a project to help some company. And he asked me, why don't we let my class do a project on the peer advantage, this new initiative that I was planning to launch? Now, these are bright people. These are bright adults from all over the globe who devoted themselves for 2 weeks to develop a brilliant strategic communication plan to help me with the peer advantage. I interacted with the class by way of video conference a couple of times, including the very last one where they made their final presentation, and they worked diligently, and the work resulted in a brilliantly constructed slide deck and a great presentation that they did at the end of it. And their advice was that my brand become the peer advantage by Bula Network. They really liked the whole Bula Network thing. Bula's a Fiji term. I came across it over 35 years ago. I'm not from Fiji. I've never been to Fiji. I'd love to go one day. But just out of pure random chance, I came across the word B-U-L-A. And found out that it's analogous to aloha. It means both hello and goodbye. And it means life. And it carries with it the connotation life is good. It's a very positive, upbeat kind of a word. And I began over 35 years ago to use it on internal memos that I would write to my staff. And so at the top of the memo, I would write capital B-U-L-A, exclamation mark. And then at the very end, I might write Bula again and then sign my name. Now, I had to explain it one time, but after that, everybody understood it. Now that you've heard it, you're going to know. You're going to remember what Bula means. Network, I really didn't know. At the time, network really just meant a variety of different services and different things that I did. Hence, you see the problem. Too many irons in the fire. Network now, quite a twist of fate, I think, in a positive direction for me. Network's all about people. It's just all about people. Well, Leo's class, they did a great job. And you know what? I didn't do one thing with it. These people had devoted themselves for 2 weeks to helping me, and I did not do one thing. Again, too many distractions, too many irons still in the fire, saying yes too many times and not saying no nearly enough. Nobody to blame, just myself. I simply needed to make up my mind. I needed to draw a line in the sand, and I needed to fully commit. And I even talked a big game. I even would tell you that I'm pot committed. Man, I've shoved all my chips in the middle of the table. And emotionally and mentally, I felt like I had, but I really hadn't. I was reluctant. Belief, it matters. True confession time. I strongly believed in the service. I knew the power of who you surround yourself with matters. I also knew from experience how tough it is to help other people see the value of peer advantage. I was suffering the symptoms of it myself. Vulnerability, courage, those are big, big issues. They impact belief, and belief drives everything. And without belief, there's very little confidence. And without confidence, well, you and I both know There's never success. There's never success without confidence. But I did believe in the power of others. I did believe in how dramatically it could positively change the lives of anybody who dare join themselves to the peer advantage. I did believe in my ability to have the necessary conversations to find and select the best people. I even believed in my ability to convey the benefits of it to prospective members. But what I really didn't believe in really was the sales conversation. What I didn't believe in was my ability to make this singular focus work to the exclusion of everything else. It was scary. It was scary. Deep down, I knew I could, but at a surface and at a practical level, it was frightening. It was just frightening. Now, along the way, about 18 months or so ago, some personal challenges erupted that changed my life. No, I didn't get a divorce. I'm still married to the girl that I fell in love with when I was 18. And in January, Lord willing, we will hit our 42nd wedding anniversary. Thank you. Thank you very much. But life throws all of us curveballs, and we have experienced our own. So have you. I'm not claiming that mine are any more special because, well, they aren't. But you know that personal challenges, especially those that deeply affect us, they are impossible to compartmentalize. I mean, people can say, well, you know, leave your problems at home. Yeah, nobody does that. You can't do that. Our lives are our lives. We're not just podcasters. We're not just business owners. We're not just leaders. We're people. We're people. And there it is again. There's the elephant in the room. People. More and more, I was falling in love with what I deemed leveraging the power of others. Emotionally and mentally, that was my focus. I could not get my mind off of it, but I was still distracted with too many other activities. And these other activities, well, they were robbing me of any opportunities to succeed at what I most wanted to achieve. I was my own worst enemy, but I just didn't fully realize it. And you know what I was doing professionally? I was isolating myself. Now, how ironic is that? Here's the guy falling in love more and more with the power of others, and he's not availing himself of the power of others, not professionally anyway. During my personal crisis, I was fully leveraging the power of others. Four men. During this 18-month period, four men served me. Three old men, one younger man. All of them gospel preachers. We all share a common faith. Nobody lives in the same town where I live, here in Dallas-Fort Worth. I've known each of these men for a very long time. Three of them, the old men, they've known me all my life. They have helped me in ways that even a wordsmith like me cannot properly express. One of them, the youngest of the eldest, was 75 years old. He'd been battling health issues, but nobody was expecting a hospital visit to end with his sudden death. He was a big, big figure in my life. He was a man who loved me enough to challenge me and to ask me hard questions, and it was terrific. It was terrific because I knew that he cared deeply about me, and suddenly he was gone. Suddenly I was without him, and I had never been without him before. A week ago, the eldest of the eldest, he died. He was 88 years old. He'd been fighting his own health challenges, but none of us expected him to go to bed one Saturday night and not wake up. Another major void in the great men who have surrounded me in my life. The last of the eldest is 83. He is a man who is as special as any man has ever been in my life. And this week he is prepared to enter hospice. In fact, he's just had a meeting with the hospice folks. And while I know he's ready, I equally know I'm not. I'm not ready to press on without access to him or his wisdom. He's been a brilliant guide of unparalleled importance in my life, always. Thankfully, my fourth advisor is in his mid-40s, so I'm hoping to have him around for a while. All that to help you better understand my context and my struggles. And you can relate, right? I know you can. It's how life happens. It's the struggles of our lives. And sadly, I'm confessing that professionally, I have struggled because I have failed, woefully failed, in leveraging the power of others. I know. I got my hand up. I'm guilty. I'm a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite. Here I am, the guy harping at you to leverage the power of others, to be careful about who you surround yourself, to be courageous enough to be vulnerable so that you can achieve more and you can do it faster. And as much as I know, as much as I absolutely know that that's true, as much as I believe it, I have failed to do it myself. And it boils down to just one thing, a dreadful lack of courage. My belief just has not been strong enough. And my fears, yeah, you know the problem. My fears have just been way too big. Fear, it's real. And it destroys all of our dreams. My fears were and are real. And there's many, many, many of them. I was fearful I'd fail. I was fearful I'd look stupid. I was fearful I'd be rejected. I was fearful I'd be judged. All of which are true. I will fail. I will look stupid. I will be rejected. People will always be judging. There's nothing I do is going to help me escape any of those inevitable outcomes some of the time. Those things and many other fears are going to happen no matter what. Are any of those going to be fatal? No. Are any of those even going to be long-lasting? Well, only if I let them. Don't we all know this? Yes, we do. We do. Surely we do. Logically, we know this, but we just don't know it emotionally. I didn't know it emotionally. Something happened to my fear. Something happened to my fear when my 88-year-old mentor died a week ago. Something clicked as I sat in that funeral service. Something happened as I put my right hand on the rail to help carry his casket as a pallbearer. Something happened as I sat there and wept at my loss. Something happened as I surveyed having done this very same thing back in 2013 when I helped carry the casket of my lifelong best friend, Stanley, in this exact same funeral home, in this exact same auditorium. This 88-year-old man was Stanley, my best friend's dad. And something happens. And when something happens, it's up to us to leverage it, to make the most of it. There's this flash of insight that came over me, as if somebody had reached deep inside me and flipped some switch to help me see things more clearly than ever before. Instant feelings of stupidity, instant feelings of hard-headedness quickly gave way to more positive thoughts. And you know what the thought was? You know what the very first thought was? I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. And yes, the Phil Collins song just immediately came into my head. I'm a music freak. Yeah, it's another song about divorce, like Tom Petty's Time to Move On. But like Tom Petty's Time to Move On, I applied it in a very different context. I don't know what it is with me and divorce songs. I don't care anymore. I just don't care anymore. We buried Johnny, Stanley's dad, this past Saturday, so it's not even been a week. And I don't want you to think that I trumped all this up in the last week. Now, this has been brewing for years. I've been thinking. I've been making notes. I've been vetting. I've been dissecting all of this going on 4 years, all the while not doing what I know now I should have. Let me share the sad truth. And it's a truth that isn't unique to me. It's true for you too. We have all failed to achieve the things we most want to achieve because we are afraid. That's right. We are afraid. All of us are afraid. Who cares how illogical the fear is? It's our fear. And it's real. Listen, I'm closely associated with Leo Battari, who wrote the book, What Anyone Can Do. I've already told you that that book was the result of a podcast Leo and I did, Year of the Peer. We kept hearing stories of people who didn't do extraordinarily, insanely superhuman things. They did some great things, but they weren't the stuff of superheroes. They were driven and they were influenced by somebody who expressed belief in them. The title of Leo's book comes from what a running coach said back in the 1970s about track champions. He had written that, you know, these are people who mostly don't do superhuman things. They do the things that most anybody can do, but don't. Well, that's true for you too. That's true for me. We fail to do the very things that we could do. I had failed to do the things that I could, the things I claimed I wanted to do. Fear prevented me. Isolation helped fuel my fear. What helped me was finally seeing how intentional I had been in this personal part of my life. I had leaned very heavily for over a year on four men. I had surrounded myself quite intentionally with four men, two of whom are now gone and one who's ready to go. And as I looked in retrospect, it dawned on me, and as I said in Johnny's funeral, weeping, what if you had not relied on them? What if these men had left the planet without you reaching out to them to help guide you through this? Where would you be then? And, well, I wept even more because the mere thought of it just buckled my knees. I so desperately needed their help, and they gave it. They gave it. And if I hadn't sought it and I hadn't gotten it, what a loss. What a loss. I couldn't get my head wrapped around it. I really couldn't. Barney was 75 years old, months away from turning 76. What if I had not confided in Barney about my challenge? Barney was the first to go. What if I had not spent hours on the phone? He lived in Ohio. What if I had not spent all that time getting his insights, fielding his hard questions? Johnny was 88. Just days earlier, he had celebrated that birthday. What if I had not leaned on him about my issue? What if I had not shared with him that issue and my concerns? What if we had not spent hours wrestling this issue together? What if I had not gone to see him and spent a few hours with him just a few weeks ago? He lived in Oklahoma. Ronnie is 83. I've spent the most time with him. He's been my most trusted advisor throughout my entire life. What if I had not had him in my life to see how he saw things? What if I had not been courageous enough to share my vulnerability with this most respected hero in my life? What if I had not spent hours and hours and hours on the phone with him? What if I had not spent hours and hours in person seeking his input and going and spending two or three days with him as I did just a few weeks ago? He lives in Missouri. And he's going on hospice. Kevin is 46. He lives in Alabama. I met him when he was 14. I'm well his senior, but he's a close, close friend. And like the other men, I love him very much. What if I'd not surrounded myself with these four men during this really critical time in my life and this challenge, a challenge that I'd never faced before, never did dream I would face, but I did face it. But I did not face it alone. I refused to face it alone. Why? Well, because it was a problem of such magnitude. It broke me. And I think there was something to be learned in that too. That maybe I had to reach such a state as that to reach out. But do we have to do that? No, the epiphany arrived finally. I'm sitting there, I'm weeping at Johnny's funeral this past Saturday, and I'm realizing that I had personally done what I had failed to do professionally. And it was driven entirely by gratitude. I mean, only weeks earlier, we had celebrated the Thanksgiving Day holiday. I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed with how thankful I felt for having these men all of these men in my life, and how thankful I was that I had had formed relationships long, long ago with each one of these men. Mostly, I was thankful that I had such talented, insightful, and caring men with whom I felt safe enough to share such important matters. I mean, it was so blindingly obvious how special and how priceless these insights had been for me in my personal life. This is exactly why I want to get the Peer Advantage by Bula Network going, was the overarching thought that I had in the ride back home. Now, of course, that was after a few hours of thinking, I'm an idiot. No, I'm human. I've got the same fears, and I got the same issues, and I got the same problems you've got. I lost so much time because I was isolated while I was being surrounded by people. You know, it's kind of like being lonely in a crowded room. I didn't lean on people as I should. It's not their fault. It's my fault. I had intentionally put myself in the presence of people like Leo Battari, but I didn't want to bother people. I didn't want to impose on people. Maybe I didn't want to share my fears. When I got back home, let me read something that I wrote down. Here's what I wrote down. This is a quote. This is exactly why a paid peer advisory group is the, I put in all caps, the. This is exactly why a paid peer advisory group is the answer to better leverage the power of others. When we're paying to be part of a safe group of peers, we can more easily shed our fears and reservations of imposing on others. It's the reason we're paying to be part of the group. So we do exactly what we need to grow and advance our goals.
Go!
That's the sound I made. I mean, it was a Homer Simpson dough moment. Look at your life. Look at your life very closely. Look at your life very honestly. Maybe you can do it right here, right now, right this moment. Maybe you're going to have to take a lot of time with it. Maybe you're just going to have to take a little bit of time. I don't know. But whatever it is, do it. Think about the fears that have long stood in your way. It doesn't matter how reasonable or unreasonable they are. It doesn't matter how reasonable or unreasonable they've been. Just know this. They are real. They are very, very real because they're yours. What if some people had been gathered around you to help you through all of this? What difference would that have made in your life? Think about the lost time. Think about the lost advantages of having reached a goal that you haven't even reached yet. Think about how much further up the road you'd be enjoying the achievements and success that you have most wanted to achieve. Now, this isn't a guarantee for success, but it's absolutely the closest thing I know to having a guarantee. It is a surefire way to accelerate growth and our ability to figure it out. Logically, I've known all my adult life that it's about making good decisions. Period. It's about making good decisions. Everything in your life is about making good decisions. It's about finding out how we can make the very best decisions. Then it's about how we can execute those decisions. And that's it. That's it. That's the sum total of it right there. I don't care what you want to accomplish. I don't care what specific thing it is to which you aspire. The path toward that goal, the path forward, is to make a good decision, then act on that decision. It's how achievement happens in your life, in my life, in everybody's life. Why don't we do it better? Because we're afraid. Fear is the killer. The anecdote is the power of others. The antidote is the power of others, but that creates its own fear. It did for me. Deep fear. Embarrassment, looking stupid, looking like we're incompetent, not knowing, well, not wanting to be vulnerable, not wanting to show our underwear, you know, even though we all know that everybody else feels the same way we do. We lose sight of the truth of our collective and our common humanity. Yeah, let me repeat it. We lose sight of the truth of our collective and our common humanity. We feel like we alone are suffering this thing. And the fact is, we're all suffering. Your Instagram moments, they feel real to me. And so does my lack of Instagram moments. Yeah, but you're fronting. you're hoping to fool most of the people into thinking that you're fearless. Oh, listen, I get it. I completely get it. I've been doing the same thing. Well, okay, just not on Instagram. Friday the 13th, December 2019, the day of reckoning, the day I say goodbye. First, goodbye to Grow Great, the podcast. The podcast, starting in 2020, will be rebranded The Power of Others. I've wrestled with other names, but that's the one that best describes what I most want to do for the rest of my life. I want to evangelize the message that there is enormous power in seeking and accepting help from others. Now, everything is going to remain right here on the website, growgreat.com, which is bulonetwork.com, but it's all still going to bring you right here. And so will a lot of other names, higherhumanperformance.com, powerofothers.com, thepowerofothers.com, bulanetwork.com, randycan.com. They're all going to bring you right here to this same website. I didn't want to rebrand the podcast The Peer Advantage because leveraging the power of others is bigger than peers. I mean, look at my story of the four men that I've leaned on over the past year or so. I've leaned on them all my life, but especially the last year or so. These men have been in my life for a very, very long time, and none of them is really my peer demographically. We all share faith. That's our commonality. So in that way, we're peers, but not in any other way. Think about your life and the people who have heavily influenced you. It's likely that it may have been a boss, a parent, a grandparent, a coworker, a spouse, a close friend, a teacher. I mean, there are lots of others out there who help us and who can help us. I didn't want to limit the podcast to just peers, and I absolutely didn't want the podcast to be some device to simply shill my work. And I wanted the podcast platform to be large enough to satisfy my curiosity for a very long time. The power of others, the power of others is going to do that. I don't have any doubt. Grow Great is currently under the business category. The power of others is going to go into society and culture. This is my final episode of Grow Great. Starting in January, each episode is going to be about the power of others. It will address whatever curiosities I have satisfied and the ones that remain. It will include business and organizational viewpoints. It will also include personal ones too. It will include leadership, but it'll also include elevating our game all along the way toward leadership, if that's something to which we aspire. It'll aim at leveraging the power of others no matter our circumstance, no matter our situation. Age and situations aren't going to matter. We all need others to help us along the way. It's not about promoting the peer advantage by Bula Network, although I will shamelessly do that, but no more than I have in the past. It's about influence. It's about persuasion. Namely, it's about convincing you and all of us, including myself, that we are leaving so much potential behind. We are wasting so much time. We are letting fear take too much control of our lives. We can be further up along the journey of success if we can find the courage to get past our fears. I hope to be just one voice evangelizing the message and helping show the way. Not because I'm an expert, not because I'm a thought leader, but mostly because I care and because I believe. Professionally, the Peer Advantage by Bula Network is going to get my attention and my focus, finally at long last. No more consulting gigs. Any engagements I say yes to are going to be because it speaks to my desire to help companies and organizations, and yes, this includes city governments, with people. With people. If the issue isn't directly related to people, then my answer is no thank you. I'm doing some collaborations with people like Leo and Joe Bacigalupo. Come on, you gotta hook up with a guy like Joe Bacigalupo professionally, don't you? Because they're focused on people. But my focus is on my own company, Bula Network, and driving the launch of my first charter group of the Peer Advantage. That charter group is going to consist of 8. Yes, originally it was 7, but it's going to consist of 8 small to medium-sized business owners from around America. I've settled on and I've given formal invitations to just 2 so far. Now, quite a few others, it just didn't feel right, which is fine. It's not for everybody. For starters, it's not for CEOs who aren't owners. And for now, I'm not building a group for CEOs who aren't owners. I may the next go round, but not right now. It's not for number 2s. That too is an appealing idea, and I've talked with lots of number 2s who are brilliant and great, and I rather enjoy their company and their insights, but this charter group is only for number 1s. See, this has been just one of my problems in forming this first group. Distraction. Not being clear enough to say no more quickly, albeit politely. I went from 8 to 7 because I want to increase the value. The value proposition was already very high, but it was important to me to increase it even more for this charter group. And it was also important to me that the room have sufficient power to leverage the power of others to a level as high as possible. 8 feels right on a lot of fronts. First, 8 allows me to lower the cost to everybody in the group. Now, that price reduction isn't going to make a hill of beans difference to somebody saying yes, but it feels better to me, right? So it's for my own psychology. I didn't do it for the members. I did it for myself. The members are going to benefit, though, and I wanted to increase it by 1, going from 7 to 8, because I know there may be times when not everybody can attend each meeting. It happens. We're all busy. But I think over time, the attendance is going to be nearly 100% every time. But even so, things can come up. And with 8, I've convinced myself that a majority of members showing up is going to provide sufficient feedback and insights to bring higher value to every single meeting. I'm now diligently looking for 2 more charter members. Well, you did the math, 8, and I've got 2. Well, I need 6. But I'm diligently looking for 2 more charter members so that we can begin. When we have 4, that is, when we have half of our members, we are going to start meeting regularly. Monthly membership is not going to begin until we have all 8 people at the table. But we're going to get underway as soon as I get 2 more, as soon as I get 4. And those 4, they will have paid their one-time enrollment fee, which is an important emotional tool more than anything. Yes, it's proverbial skin in the game, and it is non-refundable, but it is such a ridiculously low sum of money. It's $1,499. It's not going to make or break anybody. It certainly isn't going to make or break me, and it's not going to make or break anybody that pays it. Here's what it is going to do. It's going to serve to overcome that fear that I had, and that fear that everybody has, to lean on other people. It makes the group professional. Yes, it will also be very personal, but the professional part is very important because we all feel comfortable and we all feel confident to bring whatever problems and challenges and opportunities we have to the group without any reservation when we understand this is why we are here. I'm not imposing on anybody. This is why we're here. This is what we signed up for. So if you own a company doing in excess of a few million bucks a year, I hope you will apply so we can at least talk about it. I only want you to have a company of that size because, well, I don't want the $800 a month membership to be any kind of a hardship whatsoever. My 2 members right now are over 50 million each. But in fact, they're pushing their way toward 100 million. So don't let the size or the scale of your organization prevent us from talking. All the details are at the peeradvantage.com. So there it is. I feel better. I feel better for having shared the gory details with you. It's been a long, arduous journey to reach this place where I feel I have it figured out a bit better. Now, I've still got a whole lot to learn, but we're in this together. And when I think of what's driving me mostly, it is significance and meaning. It's impact. I believe each of us matters, as Angela Myers is so fond of saying. And I believe that each of us has a strong innate desire to matter as much as we possibly can. Further, I believe that we can achieve that best when we're helping each other achieve those goals and those ambitions that are so uniquely our own. This isn't about me directing for you or you directing for me. It's not about you deciding for me or me deciding for you. It's about a mutual respect and care where I want you to achieve what you have set out to do, and I need your help so that I can hit my own targets. The sign-off won't likely change because, well, I'm rather fond of it. And along the way together, we will figure out the things that we have not yet figured out. I hope you'll stay on with the journey with me, and I hope that you will invite others because it is all about the power of others. Happy holidays for 2019. Be well, do good, grow great. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is growgreat.com.